ओम अज्ञानतिमनंदस्य ज्ञानंजलश्राकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो इज अंजु माता जी एबल टू ज्वाइन नाउ? इज शी ट्राइंग टू ज्वाइन और व्हाट इज द स्टेटस?
Nothing, Prabhuji.
Joining.
Oh. Huh?
Oh, that's very earlier message. That is earlier message.
Yeah, that's very much earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows? Is she joining or not?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Vandana here. I have sent the details to her. So maybe.
Oh, okay,
time.
Okay.
Okay, okay. Somebody joining.
Okay. Yeah. So who is joining now?
Oh, Rajiv Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so now I'm satisfied a little bit because there is one Prabhuji.
Yes, sir.
And so many Mataji. Prabhuji, are you there? You are savior. Okay.
But Mataji's message could not get through, Prabhuji. Anjan Mataji's message.
Yeah, she has to try repeatedly. She should call, keep calling. So maybe if Rajiv Prabhu has joined, then probably, okay, Vandana Mataji, can you help her? Or Angel Mataji?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
So whenever such a situation arises, Prabhuji, you have to tell yourself, I'm not the body, I'm the soul.
Yeah. See, Prabhu, how do you think that I am able to continue the classes for 2.5 years?
Correct.
You know, you only in the Bhagavad Gita class, actually, we have some Prabhuji's, but in the CC class, there were only Mataji's.
Hmm.
Yes, Prabhuji, yes.
So, Mataji's are better devotees than Prabhuji's, that is for sure.
That is what we are discussing, you know, in Kali Yuga, things reverses. So,
Mataji, yeah, Anju Mataji joined.
Okay, Hare Krishna, Anju Mataji, are you able to join?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, I'm able to hear you.
Okay, good, good. So what was the problem? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Anju Mataji, you are there?
Hari Bol. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, you. Okay, okay, good. So, welcome for the first class.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you,
sir. And is Prabhu also there or are you alone?
No, I'm alone. Alone.
Okay, okay.
Prabhu.
Okay, so let us start.
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to actually discuss and share certain important concepts of spiritual lives on a practical, regular basis. The first and foremost is, you know, I wanted to share something related to matching of horoscopes. Because I heard something very interesting, extremely interesting, okay? And I think devotees will be shocked to hear that. So there is, you know, now for some reasons I cannot name these devotees, but there is one devotee couple, you know, they had got married maybe 3-4 years back. I don't remember exactly. But they are in ISKCON, and, you know, both are initiated devotees. So this Prabhuji was just sharing his, you know, the way he got married actually to this Mataji. So, so this Prabhuji was, see, this is in connection with, like, because many devotees, they ask this question about should we match horoscopes before getting married, you know, like generally, I mean, most of the devotees do that. Now, it's a different thing that different gurus, different sannyasis, they have different opinion on this. Not everyone, you know, recommends to match the horoscopes, but there are some gurus and sannyasis who do recommend to match horoscopes. And I think, again, it is for the benefit of the devotees because the devotees are not transcendental, right? So, see, if tomorrow something wrong will happen, then they shouldn't have a guilt, or they shouldn't feel that if I would have matched my horoscope, maybe I probably would have not entered into this relationship. Okay, so that kind of guilt feeling should not come. So this devotee was, you know, he conducts classes, he takes regular classes, and so he, and in the class, this Mataji used to come regularly. So now, so somehow, you know, there was a, probably some kind of liking between them. And what happened is, you know, the parents of both of them, they also wanted to have this relationship. So they spoke to each other about it. And everyone was like, you know, completely, you know, they all agreed on this relationship. Like, in fact, the parents actually wanted this relationship to happen. Okay, so then now this devotee, you know, he went to his Guru Maharaj. And, you know, his Guru Maharaj told him that, you know, if everyone is liking the relation, especially the parents, you know, the parents of both families, then it's very good. It's a good sign. So what you do is, you know, now you can go ahead and you can match horoscopes. So both of them, they matched the horoscopes from their end, like the girls, from the girls' end, from the boys' end. Okay. So now, and both of them got similar response through the astrologer. So now this Prabhuji, you know, he went to his astrologer and he asked him, you know, so what is the result? And so he told him that, you know, you have a big high mangal in your chart, and if you get married to this, you know, Mataji, then the chances that she might die because of that. Okay, so, you know, this is an extreme case of horoscope matching. How there are devotees, Grihastha devotees, I mean, you know, it's a very extraordinary example. I think not a single ordinary devotee would actually go for this kind of risk. But because they have the blessings of their guru, you know, they went ahead. So, you know, anyways. So, you know, he told him, you know, the astrologer told him that because you have a high mangal in your chart, so you should not go ahead. Otherwise, anything can happen to this Mataji. Okay, so he was kind of disappointed. And then the Mataji's astrologer, now he gave a very shocking response. He said that, you know, you are a Maharashtrian and this Mataji is a Gujarati. If you marry her, then what will happen? You know, just as Krishna got married to a different caste woman, like, you know, Krishna got married to Rukmini. Rukmini was from Maharashtra and Lord was from Dwarka, right? So just as he got married to Rukmini, because of that, the entire Yadu dynasty was destroyed. So similarly, if you get married to this Mataji, your and Mataji's family will be destroyed. Can you believe this? You know, so he was so heavy, extremely heavy. Like, I mean, this is something, you know, when you hear such kind of things, you just run away. You know, no one would go ahead. Okay. So then what happened, you know, they somehow, both of the, you know, from both sides, the families were very disappointed. But they all met each other for the last time. And, you know, they just wanted to discuss if there is another scope to get married. You know, some scope is there to take this further. So then what happened? You know, they were sitting in a meeting and suddenly, you know, this girl's father. So he started saying to the devotees, you know, to the Prabhuji's family, that, you know, we do know that, you know, the horoscopes are not matching and it's a very, you know, it's showing a very severe result. But I have faith that if the marriage takes place in one of the dhams, then it is mentioned in the Shastra that the ill effects of the planets, they do not influence in the dham. So there is no influence at all in the dham. So if you get married in the dham, you know, we can, I think, you know, and so then, you know, this Prabhuji said that, see, I we are okay, you know, we are okay with this, because from his end, you know, like, I think, you know, because he had got blessings from his Guru Maharaj, so he was mentioning that he was okay from his end. But only thing, you know, he did mention again this point, that my astrologer told me that if you get married to this girl, then there is a chance that she might lose her life. Okay, so in spite of that also, so do, you know, is it okay for you, you know, as a father, as a girl's father, as a girl's parent, is it okay for you, you know, think about it. And, you know, her father actually replied that, you know, we are quite okay, we have made up our mind. And, they, you know, in the meeting, you know, the parents asked the girl again that, you know, because see, the thing is that both had developed liking for each other. So, you know, this Prabhuji saw that, you know, the Mataji was actually very disappointed. She was very sad, very depressed because of, you know, these things happening. So then the Mataji also said that I'm okay. I would like to take that chance. And I'm okay to get married in Ram. So finally what happened is, you know, all of them, they agreed and they went ahead with this proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they got married, and they got married in Jagannath Puri Dham, in front of Tota Gopinath temple. Tota Gopinath deities, okay, in the temple. So then what happened? They got married. Now, you know, they have a child also. You know, I think he is like 3 years old or something, 2 or 3 years old. And what happened after they got married, after 6 months, the astrologer from the girl side, he passed away. You know, but nothing happened.
Okay. Okay.
The astrologer passed away. He died after 6 months of marriage.
Huh.
But nothing happened to Prabhuji and Mataji. Okay.
Mm.
So it's a very, very, very ideal, you know, an exemplary, you know, this thing. Because normally any devotee, you know, they would be fearful. They would not go ahead. In fact, even if there is certain negativity in the charts, devotees would probably not want to go ahead. And especially with those who have Shani, those who have Mangal. Those who have Mangal Dosh, generally they are recommended to get married to someone who has Mangal Dosh. But person with Mangal Dosh and without Mangal Dosh, it does not tell you, okay?
Yeah.
But here, you know, so this is actually the result of following the Guru's instruction, having faith in the Guru, in the words of the Guru. So if you have that kind of faith, then Krishna will definitely resurrect. Okay. And then another thing is that the Dham also has potency. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can influence the Dham.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can influence the Dham. Okay. Now, obviously, see, if you are not able to do, you know, get married in the Dham, but if you have, you know, if many devotees are blessing your marriage, you know, senior Vaishnavas are blessing your marriage, Gurujan is blessing your marriage, if you are getting married in a temple also, that is also equivalent to getting married in Dham.
Okay.
Right? So there is, technically there is no difference. The most important thing is one should have devotees' blessings, senior devotees' blessings. Gurujan's blessings, senior Vaishnavas' blessings, they should have. Because wherever they are present, that becomes a dham. Right? So now, how many devotees, after hearing this, you know, story, how many devotees would be willing to go forward and get married to devotees? Or how many parents, devotee parents, I'm not talking about ordinary non-devotee parents, but I'm talking about devotee parents, how many can take that risk and go ahead with such kind of cases? I don't think anyone would go ahead. It requires a lot of courage and faith in the spiritual master. So see, one thing is for sure, that if you show your faith in the spiritual master, things will work out. Okay, and if you go ahead with astrology, okay, so in this regard, you know, I wanted to share something very interesting. There are two examples, you know, of Radhanath Maharaj. I just wanted to share, you know, so there are unlimited glories of Radhanath Maharaj. I am just sharing two glories of Radhanath Maharaj. So it's connected to this thing, you know, having one-pointed faith in the Guru. So one time, you know, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, he got sick. So he was not able to, you know, give class and come for the classes and all that. So he was taking rest. And so Radhanath Maharaj, he actually understood that, you know, he's not well. So he went to him. And Maharaj saw him, he saw his condition, and he asked him, that, did you go to a doctor? And Gaur Gopal Prabhu said, yeah, you know, I went to the doctor and he has given me certain medicines, antibiotics and all that. Maharaj, he heard that, but what he did, you know, he immediately got a phone and then he called his doctor, Dr. Alwar. Okay, he immediately called him and he told him that I am sending Gaur Gopal Prabhu right now. You please somehow you take care of him and cure him. Okay. And so, you know, because it was Guru's instruction, Gaur Gopal Prabhu again went to show to Dr. Alwar. So now Dr. Alwar, I think, you know, he's an Ayurvedic doctor, probably. So he went there and then Gaur Gopal Prabhu, you know, when he met him, Dr. Alwar, so Dr. Alwar told him, after checking you, actually you have got tuberculosis. So Gaur Gopal Prabhu got very upset. He said, okay, oh my God, you know, I have to like rest for now 6 months, 8 months, you know, depending on the severity of the tuberculosis. And I won't be able to give classes and all. I have to postpone my services and all. So he was concerned that, you know, should I go and tell Maharaj about this, you know, because maybe Maharaj would probably also be upset about it. So then, you know, he went to Maharaj's room just to like tell him that, you know, he has tuberculosis. But before he could speak, Maharaj told him that you should go and take rest for 6 to 8 months and I know that you have got tuberculosis. And he was shocked. And he said, Maharaj, how do you know this? And Maharaj said, the love of Guru for the disciple is more than the love of doctor for a patient. Right? So, so see, you know, again, the point is that Guru, when he is saying something, you know, like it has a lot of weight. In fact, the meaning of Guru itself means heavy with knowledge. So heavy means that when you try to balance, you know, weights on both sides of a scale, then even if the entire world will be on one side of the scale, but if the Guru, only the Guru is sitting on the other side of the scale, his weight will be more than rest all of the others. That is the meaning of Guru. Guru means heavy with knowledge. So when Guru says something, you have to say to yourself, hell with the world. Hell with whatever whoever is saying. I don't care about it. So, you know, so that is actually the importance of Guru's words. Okay, and now second example. Yeah. So one time, now in Govardhan Eco Village, so Maharaj has created a replica of Vrindavan forest, and so each and every nook and corner of Eco Village, Maharaj has personally spent a lot of time meditating at which location, where, how much, you know, where things will be, that Maharaj has spent a lot of time for that. Every single detail, Maharaj has spent a lot of time in that. Okay. Because he is extremely particular about many things. And like we all know that when Maharaj will get certain inspiration, you know, it is like bound to happen. And it is the best thing that will happen. Okay, when he gets inspiration. So so there was, you know, one particular structure which had some pillars. And the pillars were very close to each other. And somehow Maharaj, when he was walking, he saw this structure. And, you know, he felt that these two pillars we are so close to each other, it looks very awkward and it is not fitting into my, you know, this thing, into my plan. So he immediately called the devotees and he told them that remove these pillars right now. I mean, immediately. Okay. So then the devotees told Maharaj that, you know, Maharaj, it is not possible, you know, because the structural engineer he has designed, and, you know, probably this is the only way the pillars will be. I don't think that there is any other option. So Maharaj said, no, you try to tell, you know, you try to discuss with him and ask him if there is another option. So the devotees did that. And then still, you know, after that, they went to Maharaj and told him that Maharaj, you know, he feels that these two pillars should be here only, because otherwise it will cause some kind of problem. So Maharaj said, you should be submissive to the Guru and assertive to the engineer. Listen to your Guru. Okay. And so again, you know, he sent the devotees and he asked, you know, he told them that I don't want to hear anything. You just make sure that he is going to give you another option. And there will be an option. So Maharaj told them like that. Okay, so they went again. And again they discussed and they told very clearly that, you know, this is not going to work because our, you know, Guru Maharaj, you know, he does not want it like that. So then the structural engineer, he thought about it and then finally got an option. And then, you know, the devotees went and they told Maharaj. So Maharaj was happy. So again, you know, the point is, one point of attention to the Guru's words. You know, strong faith in the Guru. That is sufficient to take us back to Godhead. Right? Yeah. So the blessings of the Guru is actually the main thing. Rest other things are all formalities. Okay, so anyone has any comment or question? Now, okay, let me share another interesting, you know, pastime of Maharaj. You want to hear that? Or, like, should we discuss?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. No, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji, want to hear.
Okay. Only one devotee saying. Majority of the devotees?
No, definitely, yes, Prabhuji. We would like to hear.
Okay. So another pastime. This is really, you know, humorous and very interesting. So now when Maharaj was actually setting up this eco village, so that time he wanted to make sure that the animals are protected in eco village. Not only the cows, but also whichever animal, you know, we have. Like we have horses, we have donkeys also in eco village. And some other animals also. So Maharaj wanted to make sure that we should have some animals in eco village and we should maintain and we should protect them also. Okay. So Maharaj, when he was speaking to Gaurang Prabhu, you know, he told him several times that
Apan Jabishi Bulata.
Yeah, so he told Gaurang Prabhu that make sure that you should get donkeys. Okay, and Gaurang Prabhu is like, what? Donkeys? What are they going to do here? So Maharaj said that, you know, make sure that you get them. And so I think one time, you know, he ignored his instruction. And then second time Maharaj again asked him that, are you getting donkeys? When are you getting donkeys? And how many donkeys you are getting? And Gaurang Prabhu said that, well, yeah, Maharaj, you know, you get it. He said, I don't want to hear anything. I'm coming, you know, like he was outstation, so he was going to land at some time. And he said to Gaurang Prabhu that before I reach Eco Village, I want to see donkeys. So then Gaurang Prabhu, you know, he said, okay. And obviously when Maharaj says something, you know, it should happen. Otherwise, everyone will, you know, get a lot of chastisement. So then everyone gets fearful of Maharaj, you know. So he is very extremely... when Maharaj will chastise someone, you know, you just have to run away because you cannot tolerate his chastisement. He will make everyone left, right, top, bottom. You know, and the specialty of Maharaj is that when he gets angry, normally when we get angry, our voice will increase. The intensity of the voice will increase. But when Maharaj gets angry, his voice will reduce. That's his unique, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, because he knows, you know, he's like a Goswami, you know, who can actually control the senses. So he knows that when you become angry, one should never raise the voice. Okay, and Maharaj is completely in control of the senses. So when he gets angry, the voice is lowered. He speaks very, you know, softly that time. But he does in such a way that the other person will be shattered. Okay. So when Maharaj came, you know, the donkeys were there. And then, so the Gaurang Prabhu was thinking that, you know, we want to preach, you know, to outsiders, especially the foreigners who are coming and, you know, who want to take experience of Vrindavan in Mumbai, you know. So what are the donkeys going to do? And then Maharaj told him that you just mark that the donkeys actually will preach more than what all of you devotees are preaching. Okay, he said like that. So then Gaurang Prabhu said, okay. So then when the donkeys came, Maharaj went to the donkeys. He met each and every donkey. He petted them. He took care of them, you know. And then not only that, he gave name to all these donkeys. You know, he gave one donkey, he gave Mangla, another donkey, he gave Ambuja, another donkey, he gave some other name. And then Gaurang Prabhu is telling Maharaj, there are thousands of devotees waiting for your name. And these donkeys, what pious activities they have done, without anything, they are getting names. So, like, you know, as you know, that Maharaj, if one wants to get initiated from Maharaj, one has to wait for, like, you know, 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, after that, I mean, obviously there are certain exceptions are there, but then normally in Mumbai, generally this is the duration, like minimum, you know, 8-10 years like that. So Maharaj easily, you know, they named each and every donkey. Okay, so now what happened? After certain months, after a few months, you know, as we know, you know, the main purpose of Eco Village is to attract foreign tourists. So there was a yoga group from US, and this yoga group is actually very, very famous, very popular, okay, in the US. So they came somehow. They came to visit Eco Village, and the founder of that yoga group also came along with other members, okay. So and she's a lady, okay. Her name is Sharon Gannon. So she came with the entire group. And when she saw Eco Village, she was highly impressed with the donkeys, because she realized and understood that, you know, the devotees who are taking care of, not only they are not just taking care of human beings, but and you know, not just about cow protection, because everyone knows, you know, in India cows are important, but what about other animals? So when she saw that the donkeys and other animals, they are taken care of very nicely, she was extremely impressed. And she went to Maharaj and she told him that actually I have never seen this in India, and I really highly appreciate that you are doing it. It shows how much compassionate you are to the animals also. So she told Maharaj that I would make a point that every year I would like to come and you know, teach all the members in Eco Village. So last so many years she has been coming regularly with all the groups, with all the yogis, and you know, there have been you know, multiple classes going on at Eco Village, and Sharon Gannon is also part of that group. So after this 1-2 months of seminars of, you know, yoga and all that, you know, we have the Pushpa Abhishek festival in January at Radha Govinda temple. So the entire foreign, you know, group you'll see in Radha Govinda temple during the Pushpa Abhishek festival. They will all be with Maharaj, and not only that, they come one day before, the same day in the morning they come, and they will pluck flowers, and they will, you know, in the evening we have, like, you know, this Abhishek. So everyone will offer flower petals to Radha Gopinath. So they do a lot of service also when they come in the morning. The entire day they are in Radha Govinda temple, right? So, you know, these donkeys. So this is, you know, this is what when Guru is saying something, it will happen. You know, so everyone realizes that whatever Maharaj says, it comes, you know, true. So the donkeys were the ones who actually preached, you know, technically, right? Yeah. So you know, this is how actually the words of Guru, they are the most important. Okay. So anyone has any comment?
No, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Prabhuji, I have a question.
So I think we should also call donkeys now in our class.
Okay.
Good, Prabhuji. We want to be donkeys to learn.
But I will tell you one thing.
There. What is the need for more?
Yeah, I was going to tell the same thing. That actually, you know, see, after hearing Maharaj, you know, all these great Vaishnavas' glories, their character, example, behavior, you know, the moment I heard, you know, all these pastimes, I thought that what bhakti I have, like, I don't have any bhakti actually, because it's just a show, you know, because when all these qualities will manifest, you know, when the character will develop, you know, it will take such a long time. I mean, we are doing sadhana bhakti, we are doing this chanting, hearing and all that. But real bhakti, you know, that real humility, it manifests. And, you know, the heart is transformed, character is changed. So many things are there. So such an ideal example, you know, when we hear about them, we feel that we are not doing anything. In fact, we are only donkeys. You know? So, I mean, obviously, you all are actually, you know, sincere devotees. I am not talking about you all. It's just that Raji Prabhu mentioned this point, so I was just connecting that point to myself that, you know, I am also, you know, like a donkey only. Okay. So,
we should all be donkeys, that's all.
So, if you are donkey, then you don't
know what it is. No, you are very good, you know, because you are all so humble devotees, you know, tolerating me for so many years. So,
donkeys are very good servants, right? And we are servants. So, therefore, we are similar to donkeys.
Anyway,
we can be as good servants as donkeys. We are fine. I think there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, anyways, you know, let's not discuss that. We can, yeah, okay. So, someone had some comment or question.
Prabhuji, I have a question.
Yeah, is that Nirvika?
Yeah, that's me.
Please message in the group. You know, like your preference day, Monday or Tuesday, and whether you have joined or not.
Yeah, mine is a bit hotspot, right? Yeah, but I forgot to write in the group. I just kept my mind there. I'll write it next time onwards.
Okay. Yeah.
So now see, in the example of this horoscope thing, right? The Prabhu, the guy, okay, he went to his guru, okay, and the guru, he told him that, okay, if you like each other, you can just go ahead, okay.
Yeah, he already gave his blessings, right, in the beginning itself.
Okay.
He did not make any objection. He did not say that if the horoscope matches, then only go ahead. He said, if your family is liking it, then nothing like it. In fact, he quoted one verse from Ramayana, you know, mentioning that, If the parents of both the devotees or both the parties, if they are liking each other, then that is the best kind of marriage that can happen. So he supported, you know, he blessed him with this marriage.
Okay. So many times we might not be able to ask directly. So we can ask our senior Shiksha Guru also, or, you know, like the most senior, most person, like whom we know.
It is more about personal decision, because the point is that whether you have the faith in the guru, and the second thing is that, see, now we are talking about the very advanced Vaishnavas, like, you know, Radha Govind Maharaj or Radhanath Maharaj or Jayapataka Maharaj, you know, these are very exalted Vaishnavas, so whatever they say, you know, it has a lot of weight. Okay. And so generally, the Shiksha Gurus might not be very advanced, because normally you take Shiksha from devotees who are generally at medium stage or, you know, below that. So even they will also not say, you know, very confidently that still go ahead, you know, whatever be the case, you should go ahead. Because, see, they should not feel repentant about it later on. If certain things will go wrong, if the disciple is unable to tolerate the relationship, then the Shiksha Guru should not feel that, okay, why did I suggest like that, you know, I should not have done like that. Because, see, ultimately everything depends on the faith of the disciple. Now, if the, you know, the Shiksha Guru might say that, okay, you know, my conviction is that you can go ahead because you both are devotees, very, you know, sincere, nice devotees, you both should go ahead. Okay? So he might say like that, but he will not tell you that, you know, don't worry, you know, nothing will happen and I am there to protect you. I don't think any, you know, devotee will probably say like that. Even the Bhiksha Guru also will not directly say that. Now, see, here also Radha Govind Maharaj, you know, he did not tell, you know, that don't worry, you know, you just go ahead. Whatever problem is, you know, I will handle it. He did not say like that. He just quoted from Shastra, he just gave his opinion that is the best kind of marriage. You know, he just told like that. So, finally, it all depends on the disciples, how much faith they have. And it is also true that not everyone can imitate this kind of situation, okay? Because not everyone is on very strong faith level, right? So, better to act according to one's faith and status. But this is just an example, you know, it's an ideal example that devotees can aspire for. Mm. Like, even if you, see, if two devotees are coming together, let's say, you know, they got married and they are sincere devotees. So it should inspire them, you know, this example will, you know, inspire them rather than, you know, feeling that, okay, we did some mistake and, you know, start feeling guilty about it. So this kind of example will inspire them.
Okay.
You know, it's all about faith. It's all about, you know, level of faith, finally.
What if one has a faith and the other party might not have so much of faith or yet? Then maybe better not to go ahead or something?
Yeah, see that's the reason this Prabhuji, you know, he was observing Mataji's reaction and response. And he noticed that, you know, she was very disappointed. She was depressed. Because, as I said earlier, you know, that I think they had liking for each other, right from the beginning. So, when there's, you know, like we say, that agar Mia Bibi Razi, to kya karega Kazi?
Kazi,
So, it's like that. You know, if you have accepted someone in your heart, and if other person also accepted you, then whatever may come. So I think, see, it is more than faith, this will also matter. Like let's say, for example, if you get into love marriage. Now, once you get into love with someone, are you going to show to some astrologer? You are not going to bother about that. Whatever he says, you will not be concerned about it because you have already given your heart to someone. So on that basis also, one can say that, yeah, you know, this factor plays a very important role. I don't think that lovers will probably break their marriage just because the astrologer said something negative. It you know, obviously the parents might have some influence, you know, they might pressurize, but I don't think, you know, lovers will have that kind of, and you know, with today's type of astrology and all that, you know, the astrologers, well, you know, the karmas that they have, it is not like, you know, something, whatever they will say, it will come true. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are not God and they are not pure devotees. Okay. So, in fact, Maharaj has said many times that, you know, many devotees go to astrologers. The astrologers themselves, they say, the first thing they say that because you are a devotee, so don't take my words 100% because your karmas will change with time. So I might say certain things, but it's not necessary that it will happen. See, that is the humility of an astrologer. You can actually really appreciate such astrologers. But certain astrologers, they are so fanatic that, you know, they think that they have some kind of shakti in them. And whatever they say, it will come true.
Okay.
So, you know, so this person was very rude and very heavy. And so what happened? You know, he only died. instead of the entire families being destroyed.
Right, Prabhuji, this horoscope thing is also science, and there are solutions to it. Like, for example, if somebody is manglik, then they get him married to a tree, and then there is a way out. So there are
Prabhu, actually, you know, see, they might be talking about solution, but the point is that ultimately, you see, they will probably suggest that, okay, you should wear a ring, or, you know, you can do some kind of sacrifice and, you know, get rid of this kind of dosh. Tell me one thing. Do they have the potency to make someone get rid of their karma? First of all, they are themselves, they are smoking, they are drinking, they might have some bad habits. And like we know that simple activities they might be, you know, committing. So, and then when we are doing certain things, you know, when he is recommending us to do certain things, we are not talking about devotees. In general, when they suggest a person to take some kind of rectification, does the person have that kind of faith? You know, like, you know, for example, we have this Shraddh ceremony. So a person dies and then, you know, just for formality, we call some Brahmana and then he will do the Shraddh ceremony. The Brahmana, first of all, does not have faith in his own scriptures. He has not understood the purpose of scriptures. What the hell, you know, he is going to teach to others and how he can make other person get rid of their, you know, karmas. And the other person also does not have faith in the process. He is just doing as a formality. He is not even interested to know by what he is saying. You know? So, see, when there is no faith, nothing is going to work. So faith has to be there. Now, a devotee might have faith. But for a devotee, it's not necessary that you have to do such things. What is the recommended process? Prabhupada always mentioned, you know, our Guru Maharaj always, they recommend. When you are taking shelter of Krishna, Krishna is actually the one. And Krishna directly says in Bhagavad Gita that not to approach the demigods. So, why one has to do like that?
So, Prabhuji,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, just to throw some light on this aspect that you mentioned. There is our Udupi Math, you know, Udupi is our headquarter of our Madhva Sampradaya. So there are 8 mathas there, no? So one of the mathas has its office branch ashram in Mira Road, that is near our ISKCON temple. So there they are offering these services where they do the horoscope consultation. That is the proper Swamiji from the Matha is doing it. And then he suggests solutions for havans and pujas where they invoke Lord Narasimha and Krishna. In our Vaishnava Sampradaya, they do these services. So that is very authentic. It is coming from the Sampradaya. So it is not the Chalu type. It is very properly authorized method of approaching this subject. And so our Miraro temple takes regular services from them also. And most of the Rath Yatras, there is the Narasimha Yajna which we do. So we call them only from there. So we are assured that they are doing the right thing. And they keep Krishna, the potency of Krishna, you know, they invoke the potency of Krishna for doing the proper puja. In that case.
Yeah. So Vaishnavas, when they are doing it, then one can definitely ask them to do the rituals. And because Vaishnava means, you know, supposed to have faith in Lord Vishnu, that is the primary faith, and he knows everything. And he will guide accordingly, you know, so that Krishna is always in the center, Vishnu is always in the center. He will not give overemphasis on the demigods. Okay, to the extent that, you know, our Bharu Maharaj, you know, one of my Siksha Gurus, he is a great astrologer himself. And he also does the horoscope matching and all. And, you know, he has given seminars on astrology, that how astrology can change one's karma so that people can have a peaceful and happy life. So that is all fine, you know, as long as one, you know, the Vaishnava is doing. In fact, in Juhu Temple also, we have the DT Pujari, you know, one of the most senior Pujari, Sivapila Prabhu, he is also an astrologer. So he also does all these services. Yeah, so, but even after a devotee suggesting certain remedies, it's not necessary that they know that, you know, it's not necessary that whatever we say, it will happen like that, because a devotee actually will accept the will of Krishna finally. So they are not attached to the fact that what we are saying will happen like that only. They are, you know, they also mention that this is what you can do, but rest is up to Krishna. So finally, I think in certain areas, a guru can interfere. And he can, even though the astrologer might suggest something, but one should have more faith in the guru. That is the point. So whenever there is a conflict between astrologer and the guru's instruction should be followed in all circumstances. Because the guru is the representative of Krishna. Don't forget that thing. Okay? The moment we forget, the moment we think that he is an ordinary person, everything is finished. So, and obviously we are talking about guru, bona fide gurus who are, who are not affected by the modes of material nature, who are like, you know, kind of liberated to a certain degree. And they are following their acharya's parampara very strictly, sincerely. So these are the ones to be followed. Actually, I would even go to the extent of saying that a guru, sometimes he can know certain things which even the astrologer cannot know. He has that power and potency. You know, whatever he will say, you know, it has long-term influence. So, and certain times the guru himself can actually understand and know the future, okay, by the inspiration of the Lord. It is not that the guru is omniscient, but because they are so pure, the Lord reveals many things to them. So, in our house program, you know, we are, I was thinking that what this topic, you know, this time what we'll take is reading Srila Prabhupada's books and Srila Prabhupada's, I wanted to share some, you know, certain pastimes of Prabhupada, which I think none of you have probably heard before. And just to make sure that, you know, you should understand who is Prabhupada. And then you will be able to appreciate what Prabhupada has given us in his books more. So there are certain pastimes of Prabhupada which are unknown to devotees. And when I narrate them, you'll all be taken aback. You'll actually understand who is Prabhupada. So, see, pure devotees, they will not manifest these kind of yogic siddhis or symptoms of, or they are not attached to predicting the, forecasting the future for the disciples and all. They are mainly focused on how a disciple can advance in their spiritual life. For that, if they are inspired from within by the Lord to reveal certain things, then, you know, then they will do it as a service. Otherwise, they will not. So, like, you know, just to give an example, Radhanath Maharaj himself, I think, you know, many devotees have read his journey home. I mean, we can clearly understand, you know, he is a yogi. You know, yogi means, you know, not an ordinary yogi. He has associated with, you know, very, very advanced yogis. Okay. And he has also learned how to speak, how to interact with the animals. He knows everything, but he does not show that. Okay, see, what to speak of all these things? Maharaj, when he speaks, his English is also very simple. Generally, when you hear Maharaj, he will not use big, big words, complex words. But when you, if you have read his journey home, he has used a lot of complex words or certain words that you, it will be unknown for you. And why he has done like that? Because when he is writing a book, it is going to the entire world. And so, you know, so he is putting his best to serve Srila Prabhupada, you know, through that. And so he has to make sure that, you know, so he uses words which are very, you'll be unfamiliar, complicated words are there, you know, you'll have to search the meaning for that. But when he speaks, so this is the humility of Maharaj. So you see, one thing it's very clear, when Maharaj, you know, is sitting for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, he's sitting with his back erect for so many hours. How many of us can do that?
None of us.
Who in ISKCON? Have you ever seen any deity in ISKCON who is sitting like that?
No.
Impossible. Like you cannot imitate. So certain characteristics he has got by associating with yogis, you know, in the Himalayas and all. And he is using it for Krishna service, you know. So he does not reveal such things, you know. He is only concerned with the disciples' advancement. I mean, any guru is concerned with the disciples' advancement in spiritual life. They are mostly focused on that. And see, one more thing is there, that's the reason the guru will not give instructions so a disciple can be happy in their Krishna consciousness. The guru gives instructions depending on what is needed for their Krishna consciousness. Right? See, because we see that in the life of pure devotees, who was happy? Everyone had suffered so much. Everyone had struggled so much. So the guru does not think, okay, he might be compassionate to the disciples and, you know, he might pray for their happiness. But whenever a purification is required, the guru has to pray for purification. They will never deviate from that. A purification can be tough because it's a grinding, churning process. The churning process is very tough. But they have to pray like that for each and every disciple, because that is for your, it is for their benefit, finally. So they are not much concerned about the, you know, disciples' karma. They are mainly concerned how they will advance in spiritual life. And so similarly, the Ashwarya devotee and the devotees also should be concerned for a devotee's spiritual advancement. Right? Does this make sense to everyone? Yeah, what about other devotees?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. Okay, any comment, any more comment on this? Okay, so coming to the...
What is why, because of some way the, like, for example, the, like, you're just talking about this astrological thing, like, and this is my curiosity. I just want to know, like, how would, like, is it possible in their current scenario of ISKCON for a disciple to meet his or her guru like that way and, you know, seek blessings for the marriage or something before, like, unless you have a very good relationship with the guru like that way, would someone consider that like okay to do that? To speak directly with the Diksha Guru like this way?
No, about what? Like directly with the Diksha Guru?
For example, let's take Raghunath Maharaj only, okay? In general, it's a bit difficult to meet him. Okay. And maybe there is some good contacts with some senior devotee or something like that. Okay, fine. Maybe there's a chance to meet him personally or something. So in such a case, how would it be possible for a person, you know, like for example of this scenario, like, you know, this Mangal and non-Mangal kind of thing. How would, like, and they both are sincere devotees, okay? This is an example I'm giving. They're just sincere devotees and maybe they want to genuinely do go ahead in their marriage and, you know, in their spiritual life ahead in serving Guru. But they might not be able to directly meet their guru. Okay. So then what should they do?
Yeah, so, see, okay. It's a good question that guru is not available many times. And see, that is the reason we have Siksha Gurus. So that they can come come and help us, you know, wherever there is a lack of contact between the Diksha and the disciple. See, generally, you know, okay, now our Diksha Guru is representing Srila Prabhupada. Please understand this very thoroughly. And the Siksha Guru is also representing Prabhupada. Okay, so that is fixed. So whoever repeats Prabhupada, whoever follows Prabhupada is a bona fide Vaishnava. Now, there might be different opinion in certain things, but we have to understand why the different opinion is there, because, you know, it's obvious. Now, let's say, like, Radhanarma does not personally encourage to match horoscopes. That is his way. But other sannyasis, they do encourage to match horoscopes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it does not mean that, okay, one is more advanced or one is less advanced, nothing like that. But it's just that these other sannyasis, they are recommending, because they know that the disciples, they don't have so much, you know, faith, or they lack certain things, you know. They are not transcendental, you know, to go beyond the horoscopes, and, you know. So they will instruct, you know, so that, and then, you know, obviously they also understand the practicality of the marriage system, because in India, generally it is a culture that every parent will prefer to match horoscopes. So now just imagine if the guru or sannyasi will say that don't match horoscopes, then what will happen? It will create some kind of problem, you know, and disharmony. You know, and you know, so really, like, you know, then the disciple will think, oh, my guru has said, so I should do like that only. And then, you know, the disciple will start ignoring the parent's request, will not consider the request, and there, you know, it will create a lot of problems like that. So, you know, in order to facilitate all these things, make it very simple for the disciple, you know, the guru might say, okay, you should go ahead and, you know, match the horoscope, because it is for your benefit also. Tomorrow you should not be repentant about it. And you should not blame the guru for that. Right? So see, generally what the guru can do, he will just tell you that, you know, because you both are sincere devotees, it's okay, you can go ahead, you can think about it. He will say this much only. Now, but the decision is still left to you. He will not say that I am instructing you to get married. That will not happen. Even if you go to Radhanath Bharat directly, he will never tell you that this is my instruction. Depending on the faith of the disciple, again, you know. So, he will just say that, you know, in my opinion, or, you know, like, I feel that it's okay if you go ahead. Even if he says that much, one can understand. Or he is represented by his disciples. You know, like, Maharaj has already, now, like, obviously, the devotees who have been serving Maharaj since a long time, they know in and out, you know, Maharaj's desires, feelings and all that. So they will represent Maharaj, you know, they will also come and tell you the same thing what Maharaj has said. So in that case, it's a repetition. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be liberated. You just repeat what the Guru is saying. But one thing is there, that when you are repeating certain things, make sure that you don't repeat your desires, your ultimate desires. Okay? Because, see, what happens for a sadhaka, for a non-liberated siksha guru, or you know, a guide or a mentor, they might judge. You know, they might probably become judgmental in their guidance. So that should not happen. They have to make sure that whether whatever I'm saying, does it have some, you know, ulterior motive, desire, and they should, accordingly, they should guide the devotee and disciple for their benefit. So that should be the main motive. Otherwise, what will happen? You know, the mentor and the guy or the counselor, they will create some problems, and it will affect their spiritual life, because, see. Yeah, so as long as one knows that one is guiding without any ulterior motive, just for the benefit of the devotee, then he is representing the parampara perfectly.
Mm-hmm. So it's even the faith that you have on your Shiksha Guru, that also plays an important role, especially in cases like this.
See, that is what even the Diksha Guru wants, because when he will leave, you know, he will pass away from this material world. What will you do? See, that is the problem. That, yeah. Exactly. So, see the culture itself is siksha. It is based on siksha. Diksha Guru is actually, in fact, the siksha, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the siksha gurus are more important, because they are training me in spiritual life. Whereas a Diksha Guru, now obviously the Diksha Guru can be a siksha guru also. It's a different thing. But the Diksha Guru's role is just to give you Diksha Mantra. second initiation, so that you can worship the deity. But the Siksha Guru is actually, he is completely training you from Abhyudaya to Prayojan. So the Diksha Guru is establishing Sambandha, and Abhyudaya and Prayojan is given by Siksha Guru. And you know, in ideal cases, the Diksha Guru is himself giving Siksha. So he is like Sambandha, Abhyudaya, Prayojan all way together.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
See, that is the speciality of a Siksha Guru or a devotee, that one must always give preference and priority to the devotees over projects. Like one devotee, he asked Raghunath Maharaj, that why are you so successful? How are you so successful in your preaching? You know, in your inspiring all these grihasthas and brahmacharis and, you know, so many devotees throughout the world. How are you so successful? And Maharaj said that I always give priority to people over projects. Or you can say devotees over projects. So otherwise what happens, you know, many politics, diplomacy and everything will creep in. Like for example, you know, if I tell you that unless you are taking guidance from me, I cannot help you. Or unless you are working for my project, I will not help you.
Mm.
If this kind of mentality will develop, then that is not the right mentality. But, you know, obviously it's a different thing that how a disciple will behave, that's also another thing. So they have to also have faith. If they are not showing proper faith, then obviously the guru has the right to ask them to, you know, join some other devotee. Because, you know, what can be done? Because they don't have faith, or they are not showing faith, or they are trying to go everywhere. So they are not justifying, you know. So, see, the idea is that the disciple as well as the guru, they both should have a proper loving relationship. It should be based on faith and loyalty. You know, and like I just shared in our group also, I think today or yesterday, you know, one letter by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says very clearly that you want to please Krishna, you have to please Guru, and in order to please Guru, one has to be loyal to the Guru, one has to be faithful to the Guru. So one particular example of Kirtanan Maharaj, you know, that I'm sharing, I don't know how many of you have read, but anyone has read, you know, the letter which I have shared about Kirtanan Maharaj? Anyone knows what I'm talking about? So, see, what happened in 1967, Prabhupada assigned some service to Kirtanan Maharaj. He was supposed to go to US, but he was supposed to go to US via London. And Prabhupada asked him to preach in London, you know, to start some preaching center. And Prabhupada was aware of one of his god sister who was in London. And she was doing some kind of preaching. So, he asked Kirtanan Maharaj to first go to London. He also gave him money to go to London and spend, you know, stay for a few days and start preaching. So he also gave him some money. And, you know, so he asked him to go and preach there and then go to US. But what happened, Kirtanan Maharaj, instead of going to London, he directly went to US. And he did not even inform Prabhupada. He just followed what he wanted to do. And you know, this is just like in the beginning of his sannyas. So the first sannyasi in ISKCON was Kirtanan Maharaj, Prabhupada gave him sannyas. And immediately, you know, he misused his position. So Prabhupada got very annoyed, extremely annoyed with this situation. And so, you know, he wrote to all, Prabhupada is not blaspheming him. He's not blaspheming Kirtanan Maharaj. But Prabhupada started writing to all the temple presidents that, you know, Kirtanan Maharaj, you know, he disobeyed me. And this has caused me, you know, a lot of like disappointment. And you know, he's actually even though now he's speaking, but his speaking is not going to be effective because he has disobeyed my instruction. So he has broken that connection. So he was very annoyed with it. And unless and until, you know, he was willing to beg forgiveness from Prabhupada, right? So so yeah, you know, the loyalty has to be there. The faithful has to be there, and that faithfulness will obviously come with time, you know, because you know, it's not just that, you know, the guru is observing the disciple, the disciple is also observing the guru, they are also noting the character, behavior of the guru, and so similarly the guru is also trying to find out, you know, are the devotees very faithful, and are they, you know, behaving properly, are they following the etiquettes, in their relationship. The Guru is noting all these things. Each and everything the Guru is noting. And so similarly, the disciples are also noting about the Guru. So, see, why a Guru is, you know, why Gurus like Jayapataka Maharaj and all others, they are like praiseworthy because, you know, they are inspiring by their personal example. They are personification of humility. Okay, that's the reason we have so much respect and faith for them. It's not that, okay, they are just giving nice philosophy, but, you know, their behavior is like us, you know. So then, obviously, the faith will be like that. But because they are so advanced, so humble, so unique, so extraordinary, very exemplary in all respects, that is the reason we have more faith in them. Okay, so whoever represents our Guru Maharaj, and so it's Prabhupada's wish, it is that Chaitanya's desire that we become the servant. What is the meaning of that? You know, it's the same thing. We have to take shelter of our senior Vaishnavas. It's not necessary the Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru can be there, he might not be there. In fact, I will tell you one thing, you know, the biggest service that Maharaj has personally, or, you know, the biggest help, sorry, not service, but the biggest help that Maharaj has personally done for me.
Okay.
Haribol? The biggest help I consider to receive from Maharaj is, I thank him a million times that he has never interacted with me so much. Yeah, that is a great benefit for me. Why? See, in the earlier years, I was also disappointed and I was also frustrated that why, you know, my own Guru is unable to give time to me, he's not talking to me so much, he's not giving me so much time. I used to feel like that. But over a period of time, I realized one thing, that the connection with the Guru is actually internal, and the Guru is actually making you independent of him. See, that is the role of a Guru. So Guru is not supposed to make you attached to him forever. You know, the Guru is supposed to connect with Krishna. And so the Guru's role is that your faith in Krishna should increase with time. And that will also increase your faith in Guru, because that is the main role of a Guru. So as, you know, Prabhupada many times says, simultaneous faith, 50-50 faith, right? Without that, so things are incomplete. So one cannot say that one has more faith in Krishna, less in Guru, and more in Guru and less in Krishna. That's contradiction. One has to have equal faith in Guru and Krishna simultaneously. So what, you know, the greatest help that I've received from Maharaj is actually not, you know, his personal association, but his distance. And I actually understood over a period of time that it is making me independent. Or see, I'm not saying that I have become independent in whatever I'm doing. I have become independent to be dependent on other Vaishnavas, to be dependent on my Siksha Gurus, to respect my Siksha Gurus more, to appreciate my Siksha Gurus more, to learn from them. And over a period of time, I did realize that actually I don't need to go to Radhanath Maharaj for anything, because I have received so much help from my Siksha Gurus. Whatever Shastra knowledge, whatever help I have, you know, day-to-day Krishna consciousness difficulties, or I have to discuss with my Siksha Gurus. It's not so please understand this thing very clearly, that it is the Siksha which is very important. The same thing you will be doing with your Diksha Guru also. And the same thing you will be doing with your Siksha Guru also. Right? So you know, because, you know, like, you know, recently I was just, you know, discussing with my friend. You know, he was mentioning that some particular temple president, you know, he told him that you should think about taking Diksha from Radhanath Maharaj, because, like, you know, he's not personally available and he's not giving so much time. But here, you know, the local Guru is this one, and so probably he can give you some time also. So he was discussing with me, and I told him very clearly that should not be the basis of your relationship with the Guru. And I told him that what if after a few years that Guru will also pass away? Then again you are left with the same thing, to take Siksha from your local devotees. does not make any difference. Unless and until you want to get trained in certain areas, then it's a necessity that, okay, you have to serve some superior. You know, you have to get trained under them. So that's a different thing. But just to have regular Siksha, one does not require you know, the Diksha, I mean, if you are getting that opportunity, then well and good. You know, you are fortunate. But otherwise, you know, like there are other devotees also who can guide you. And that is where, see, one, the Guru Tattva comes in. Because as you know from the Shastra also, the Guru Tattva can come in any form. Prabhupada said that it's not necessary the Guru can come through devotees. He comes through non-devotees also. The Avanti Brahmana in the Bhagavatam, he had 24 gurus. And you know, do you know which gurus they were? But most of them were animals. Yeah. How did he learn from animals? And then he also learned from the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So what is, you know, where is the question of personal association? So see, one will actually realize over a period of time that this is Guru Tattva. The Guru Tattva is going to manifest depending on sincerity. And then obviously there are ways that the Guru can always inspire us. He can come in dreams, he can you know, he can come through devotees, he can via different ways he can come and instruct us. Right? So so please focus, concentrate on the aspect of Shiksha and notice, realize that this Shiksha, if it is coming from the devotees who are representing Prabhupada properly, then they are as good as, you know, like, you know, Prabhupada delivering it to us. So does this make sense to everyone? Any comment or question on this? So the main inspiration to select a guru is from the Shiksha of the guru. It is not about physical association. It is not about that, okay, and some devotees might think that, okay, one should take from this particular guru because, you know, he does not interfere. He is not available many times. So he does not interfere. And so, you know, he gets, we can get a lot of freedom through that. So that is also not the right way. Because, see, the things do not stop at Diksha Guru. Things continue at Shiksha level. Okay, because one will always take Shiksha from someone. That is obviously a fact. No one can deny this. One has to take Shiksha from someone. And it has to be a living guru. Now, you know, so this concept of Ritvidism, you know, that we are taking directly from Prabhupada, and or you know, tomorrow if you say that we have a Diksha guru and we are just, you know, taking his guidance, but we are not consulting anyone, that is also bogus. Because the guru's advice is that you have to be a servant, and you have to serve devotees. You should follow them. Okay, so is this clear to everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, Nirvika, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, any other devotees? Yeah, are you able to hear Anju Mataji? Are you there? Hare Krishna, Anju Mataji, you are there? Okay, is she there? Anyone knows? Raju Prabhu or Vandana Mataji or Angel Mataji? Haribol?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. Anju Mataji, are you there? Who got disconnected?
I think Anju Mataji got disconnected.
Okay. So Vandana Mataji, you are able to hear?
Yes,
okay. Okay, any question on this? Sorry.
Yeah, I had one question. Okay. The role of destiny in everybody's life, including devotees' life.
The role of?
destiny. Like this devotee couple, this devotee couple, they got married in spite of everybody saying no, you know, but they went ahead, you know. So, I mean, yes, they respected Guru Maharaj and they believed in him and they went ahead, but wasn't destiny also involved in him and they were destined to be married? I had this query that, you know.
Yeah, that is possible, you know, I mean, in this particular circumstance, it is possible because some people, they might continue from the previous lifetimes and some are like, you know, for example, one of my Shiksha Guru, his name is Shesha Prabhu, who is a Prabhupada disciple, and his wife, Madhumati Mataji. So one time they had gone to some astrologer who knew Bhrigu Samhita. And as you know that Bhrigu Samhita, it predicts not only the future lifetime, but it also gives information about the past lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the astrologer told them that you both have been, husband and wife for past three lifetimes. And so now you are, you know, again coming back. Something as I said, to past two lifetimes or three lifetimes like that. So it is possible, you know, in such cases, you know, if husband and wife, they are committed to each other in the previous lifetimes, they have good rapport, and if they are not finished with their business of going back to Godhead, then they will probably come in the next lifetime also together. So yeah, it is possible, you know, it might be possible in such a, because see, this particular decision, it requires a lot of courage. And I don't think that any ordinary devotee would have that courage. And you know, it is quite okay also. So it's not necessary that only advanced, very advanced devotee, you know, can show this kind of courage. Because, you know, if you are not connected in the previous lifetimes, then maybe, you know, you will not be so much inspired to go ahead. But if there is a connection from the past life, and you are meant to, you know, marry the same person, then, yeah, the difficulties will come. Even in spite of difficulties, you know, devotees can get married. So that is a possibility. But anyway, you know, in any circumstances, we cannot think of the past lives. We cannot, predict. We cannot speculate on that because we don't know that. And no one knows that. Okay. Someone like an astrologer, he can just probably say that, okay, you know, you are continuing from previous lifetimes. You can say like that. So it's a possibility, but okay, you know, whatever it is, you know, at least for this lifetime, we have set a good example of, you know, following the Guru, having more faith in Guru. Yeah, I mean, and you know, see, why I'm saying this, that, you know, the previous lifetime probably could also be a factor in this, is because they met each other, you know, before. It's not that, you know, they had arranged marriage. They saw them for the first time, both of them. It was like them, actually, the Mataji was regularly coming to the classes and they developed some kind of inclination towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that plays a very important role.
Okay.
In any case, certain things for a devotee might be fixed. But, you know, as we know that devotees, they have free will. And so things will change also, depending on the karma. The problem is that once we become devotees, we have to take care of another major thing, like compared to compared to non-devotees. And what is that major thing? We have to be very cautious about it. Very dangerous. What is that? See, what is the most dangerous thing in spiritual life?
I think everyone. Insult your spouse. We don't know the level at which they could be a devotee. Vaishnava practice spouse, maybe.
Ha, exactly. So everyone knows what the most dangerous thing in spiritual life is, Vaishnava Prabhu. And so that is actually, that can change things drastically for a devotee also. In fact, you know, Vishwachar Thakur mentions that, you know, if a devotee is distressed, then that is because offenses to the Vaishnava. If they do not get taste in spiritual life, that is because of offenses to the devotees. In fact, Prabhupada just recently, only yesterday or yesterday, I had shared, you know, the purport from the second canto of Bhagavatam, where it is mentioned that if someone is not crying, it's not showing symptoms of ecstasy and tears while chanting the holy name repeatedly, that means that person has committed offenses. So, otherwise the holy name should make one cry. Okay. So, because, you know, offenses, so what happens is, offenses can destroy all the karmas. If you are not offensive, if you are acting on the Namabhas platform or the offenseless platform, it can destroy all of your karmas at one stretch. In one moment, it can destroy not just your past and present, it can destroy your future karmas also, if you are offenseless in your demeanor. So Ajamil, with the case of Ajamil, the same thing happened. Ajamil had no future karma also. And that's the reason, even though he was continuing relationship with the prostitute, after chanting the holy name, he did not have any karma. He did not incur any karma because he did not commit any apradhs. So even after committing sinful activities throughout his life, till the end, he had no karma. Why? Because chanting of the, you know, when he chanted the name of Narayan, that name caused Namabhas. Because he never committed any apradh. So what are the apradhs of, you know, to the holy name? 10 offenses to the holy name. Out of the 10 offenses, he did not commit a single offense to the holy name. So that's the reason all of his karmas were destroyed. At that moment, when he chanted the name of Narayan. And this is not at the time of death. When he first chanted the name of Narayan, that was when the time when he kept the name of his son Narayan. So at that moment, all his karma got destroyed. So you destroyed future karma also. But you should be offenseless in your demeanor till the time you die. If you are offenseless now, and later on if you commit offenses, then the destroyed karmas, they can reappear again. They will reappear.
Oh no.
Yeah. So whatever destruction the karmas have been destroyed, it can all it can come back. Not only that, but much more can also come back.
Yeah, but then that would mean that they were never destroyed, right? They were just kept relevant.
It was destroyed. It was, but what is the condition? You have to maintain your offenseless demeanor till the time of death. So Ajamil did that. Only if you are offenseless, then only all these karmas will be destroyed. Okay, and the moment you destroy a karma, and after that you start committing offenses. See, because the problem is, from Namavas, one can fall down to Nama Aparadha also. Only when you reach Shudhanam, then you go back to Godhead. Then there is no question of falling down. But till Namavas, because Namavas is a liberated state. So you again fall down to Namaparad. So Namaparad, once you start committing, then the karmas will reappear. That's the reason it will cause distress to the devotee also. Because for a devotee, technically speaking, there is no karma which is making them distressful. It is mainly because of offenses to the holy name. And it is true. If you go through the 10 offenses to the holy name, you will realize and very easily understand. And I think it will be easy for us to accept that, yeah, we are committing so many offenses. And, you know, the problem is that offenses get committed in the mind also. Like, you know, in Kali Yuga, we have this privilege that whatever sins we commit in the mind, that does not have any reaction. But aparad will have reaction also. So if you think negatively about someone, you know, without anything, and because of envious weakness or, you know, because of some kind of pride, then also that will have some effect. The intensity of effect will vary depending on the aparad that you commit in the mind. That is the lowest level of aparad, the lowest intensity reaction you'll get. If you commit aparad through words, then it will have more effect, more reaction. And if you commit through physical, you know, like let's say if you hit some devotee, then it will have much more severe reaction. Okay. So, is this clear?
Hare Krishna, yeah. I got disconnected. I just got back again.
Oh, okay. So, what did you hear last, like, which point?
Last you were saying that we commit lots of aparad, like, you know, in our life. That's why we are facing
distress, yeah. Distress. So devotee is mainly facing distress because of his, you know, offenses to the holy name. And, you know, we have to remain steady in our demeanor. So then all the karmas are destroyed. Okay. Any comment or question on this? Yeah, okay. So I wanted to cover one more important question, you know, and it is about basically, you know, devotees generally ask this question that the grihasthas when they are working, so is it important for the grihasthas to, or, you know, especially the devotees who are working and who are engaged in contributing the Lakshmi in the Lord's service, so what is... Is it important that they should work more and contribute more also? Because at some point of time, you know, it will affect their sadhana. It will affect many things around them. So this question was asked to Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Because, you know, we know that, you know, the way to contribute to Krishna is basically, you know, especially for a working devotee, is that they engage their income in the service of God. So, do the devotee have to work more? Would they have to put extra efforts so that they can serve Krishna better? And, you know, so what do you expect? Like, what is the answer for this? Are the devotees supposed to work more so that they can contribute more for Krishna? Because it's a competitive world. See, the moment you stop working more, others will go ahead of you. So it is, you know, you have to make sure that, see, that's the reason Prabhupada introduced this concept of there are three categories of people, right? The lazy intelligent is the most, is actually the highest, or is the best kind of person, lazy intelligent. Lazy means someone who will focus on his sadhana, focus on his spiritual life, and he will actually ask others to work for him. So he's intelligent. He's lazy in terms of work, but obviously not in terms of sadhana and spiritual life. But he will externally, you know, he will assign work to everyone so that he will have a lot of time for sadhana and seva. That is lazy and intelligent. Okay. Then second category is? Anyone knows?
Active fool.
Huh?
Active fool. This is the most dangerous kind.
Sorry?
Active fool. Not the lazy fool, but the active fool.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a lazy intelligent, there is active intelligent, and there is the lazy and the fool. Like something like that. I think
lazy
the third category.
Fool, active fool.
Yeah, lazy fool, active fool. Like that, something like that. So now, you know, the active fool is the second category because, you know, at least he's working, but he's a fool, you know, because he does not know the purpose, does not know the goal. He's just working like that. He just wants to have material satisfaction, sense gratification. So he'll work like that. He does not have any focus. And the third is? lazy and fool, right? Like that, something like that, okay. So he does not do anything. He's very lazy and he's also a foolish person because he is not caring about spiritual life. So what is the meaning of this? So it is basically, see, what does this mean is that devotees, the grihasthas, they should design their lives in such a way that they must have a, they should never affect their sadhana. You know, whatever they are doing, it should never affect their sadhana. So that means that they have to balance things properly. They should not be ideally, they should not be working more than their capacity. Or you can say that what is the discriminating point? The point of discrimination is that the moment your sadhana is affecting your and then because of that, if you are taking more anxiety, and that anxiety is also it is influencing your family members, it is having an impact on your family members, then that should stop. So it should not work like that. And in fact, Bhakti Charu Maharaj said that devotional service generally should be performed at ease. At ease means as much as possible in a peaceful state of mind. So the more anxiety you try to take, the more you will be disturbed. Your sadhana will be affected. So overall, all these things should be considered and you have to balance in a nice way. So it is not necessary that, okay, now another thing is that, okay, for some devotees, work itself is like worship. They like their work a lot and they are very much happy and satisfied. So those devotees can work more and they can contribute more. But for the devotees who are like, you know, not, like obviously we have so many people in the world who are working just for performing their duty. It's not necessary that they are liking their work. Many people like that. So for those kind of people, obviously it is best that they should balance things properly. They should not over and over for work. Whatever they can contribute, they should contribute. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj also mentioned this point, that we cannot force the grihasthas to contribute more than their like set targets or, you know, certain whatever percentage, you know, they have set for themselves. So we should not force them. Otherwise, it will create anxiety. Now, obviously, that does also does not mean that, you know, devotee will just set aside 5% for Krishna and then remaining 30-40% they will use for sense education. That also does not make sense. Right? So it should, obviously, whatever profit a devotee is earning, you know, they should make sure that they should contribute in the best possible way for the cause of Krishna consciousness. So a good amount of percentage should be contributed for Krishna service. And then every grihastha devotee, they should also plan right now that how they can retire in the future, as quickly as possible. See, if you are getting crores of rupees in a span of 2-3 years, why you have to wait for 10 years? If you have no other responsibilities, why you have to wait for so much long time? You should retire as soon as possible because maximum time you can spend in Krishna consciousness. So that planning has to be done in the beginning. Okay, the entire, you know, if there is no planning, you will just keep working. And even, you know, after crossing 60, 65, 70, you will still be working. So planning has to be there. So one has to have savings also. Where to save and all that, where to invest, that is best suggested and recommended by Anand Vrindavan Prabhu. So all the devotees can, you know, see his lecture on YouTube. Very nicely he has recommended, suggested devotees to plan where is one supposed to invest, how much one is supposed to invest, everything he has explained. So one should plan like that in order to have a peaceful, balanced life in Krishna consciousness without a lot of anxiety. Right? So, any comment on this? Does this make sense? Like, I think, you know, all the devotees mostly are grihasthas, except a few. I think, like, what do you think about this? Yes. So I think, yeah, it depends on the inclination of a devotee. See, like, you know, for example, some devotees, obviously, they want to do something connected directly to the, you know, temple activities. So they are more satisfied in that. They're more happy in doing that. Some devotees, probably, they are more inclined to work. They are passionate about their work. So they work more. Nothing wrong in that. But I think it's very important never to compromise the sadhana. Whatever sadhana one is fixed, one should not compromise on that, and one should not take over anxiety. You know, Rupa Goswami says one should not over endeavor for work also. Now, obviously, Prabhupada did allow devotees to take to work, you know, to over endeavor for Krishna service. He did allow them, you know, and he also suggested them. But it depends, you know, like not everyone can do like that. So it should not affect our sadhana and family members. Okay, and obviously one has to make sure that contribution is going to Krishna also, major contribution, right? I had some other questions also, but I think it's time now, so you know we will continue next week. Chintamani Mataji had some question, but won't be able to cover now. Okay, all right. So if there are no comments, then we can stop here. Okay, all right. Thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Janma Pranam to all.
Thank you. Thank you.